Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
10th caller right now going to win a gift certificate from Sorgles in Wexford, 412-922-1020. So I guess this is a little more worrisome than the first frost of the year, but we have no plants or gardening going on as we speak, but I don't think I have ever, in all my years of being at this historic radio station, talked about this type of cold watch, as they're saying. Doug, it's on its way.
But it's everything. It's, yeah, we don't have any plants up above. Well, yes, we do. We have shrubs and such, but all those perennials and, like, I'm thinking of my hearty banana. It's covered in straw, but when it gets cold, I don't know what's going to happen. Hydrangea, you know, we talked last week about hydrangea buds freezing out. You know, all the buds that are, I wouldn't worry about rhododendrons or azaleas. The people were asking me, should I cover my stuff? Should I cover my, no, there's no point in doing that now. You're going to do more damage than good. If you, again, it's too late. If you wanted to surround your hydrangea with some burlap and keep the top open, you could do that. But how are you going to pound in stakes? I mean, you might be able to, but the ground's going to be frozen here pretty quick. So I think we're stuck with what we've got as far as our plants. And yeah, it's going to get super cold, but most of these plants have been through it, and we'll get through it. It's only 3 days, really, of the super cold that I saw anyway. And then,
so what about, you know, I was talking to Andy Amron yesterday on the True Value Show about your house and pipes and all the stuff you have to be concerned about. But what about greenhouses? I mean, that are being
It's
heated.
Funny you should bring that up. I'm waiting for my friend in the spring. Rob Marshall is going to come and fix my greenhouse, and he's going to chastise me because I lost a big pane of glass. Something fell through it, and I've been working the last 2 days.
Well, you've always been a pain in the glass.
Yes. Jury rigging a piece of plexiglass just to have something up there. And I just figured out, actually, yesterday at a visit out to have a little something to eat and talk to a friend. I just figured out how I'm going to do it. So today I'm going to be up there and on the ladder drilling some holes and such, but I'll be inside.
Well, because, I mean, there are people that, you know, have some stuff they want to hang on to this time of year. And they're
I don't know. You know, that cold is, I've got arugula, lettuce, and onions out there in the greenhouse, and we'll see. I'm thinking about moving the plants actually like away from the window and into the center of the greenhouse.
That outside cold could really affect what's inside that greenhouse.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to be any warmer inside that greenhouse without sun than it is outside. Maybe 10 degrees warmer. But when you get this kind of cold,
no kerosene heaters or anything can help?
It could help, but
it's going to be cold.
And my greenhouse is single pane glass. You might as well throw $100 bills out the window. You know, maybe if you've got a modern greenhouse with well insulated, sure, a little bit of something, but you got to be very, very careful. Somebody actually sent me something where they're putting a candle in there.
You got to watch.
Yeah, and it heats up the rocks, and I'm like, oh boy, I could just see that going bad. Same thing with a kerosene heater. And my greenhouse has gas going out to it, but again, it's single pane, old construction, 60s, 70s, who knows?
Well, the other thing, and it happened to me this morning after I told my audience about it hour after hour yesterday, because of the warming trend, those puddles of melted snow have turned to ice. 3 o'clock this morning, I became the opening segment of A Wide World of Sports. you know, the victory in the ski jumper.
And the Russian judge only gave you 5.
He did. He gave me 5. But I took a fall this morning. It's a miracle that I bounced right back up. And you got to be careful because it's going to be a really slippery slope.
I took the dog out this morning. Yes, everything that it was slushy was rock solid ice. And the driveway's clear, but I don't know. It depends on how much snow we're getting here today. The other thing we got to be concerned about is the effect of all the salt we're using on the plants.
Mm.
You know, right next to the sidewalk, next to the driveway. I actually, from Andy, I use a product that has magnesium chloride as opposed to straight sodium chloride. You don't use quite as much. It still is a negative if it gets into the plant root system, but you don't have to use as much, and it's not as bad for the plants. And I try to really barely use any, just enough to get somebody up and down the driveway. I got to keep it clear. Like when it's this cold, if something goes, you know, this is when the water heater goes, this is when the furnace goes, I got to get the guy up the driveway. And it's switchback and up on Mount Oster, it's no fun. But I did have a big exciting announcement for you, Rob, and I think you'll be very thrilled about this.
Okay.
I was in a meeting with a bunch of other podcasters, and they were talking about this list of top 100 podcasts, and our show made it to the top 100 podcasts in the world. And there's Germany and everything. So the Organic Gardener, when they send it out at the end of the day, that's our podcast.
I made a list.
Yes. We made a list.
As opposed to most wanted list.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah,
though.
So that's exciting. I guess I was looking through it while we're on this meeting, and the woman was like, I'm so disappointed because I'm number 86. And I started looking through it. I said, oh, I'm number 80. I'll take that.
That's pretty impressive, Doug.
Didn't even know anything about it.
No,
so.
I didn't. My contribution to this show is, here's Doug, and you're on the air with Doug, and thanks
for
calling.
That's not true. That's not true. We have a lot of fun together.
I will say this.
Where do we get your tomatoes going this year?
I can't wait. I will say this. This is the type of winter that I remember always as a kid. And we just have to tough it out. But it makes you appreciate spring even more.
That's what I keep saying too, Rob. But,
well, do you think it's because...
Why do we live up here?
Bothered me before, but now I've actually turned into my father. You know, you would get the gasoline and pump it, but then you would start the car and sit in the car with the heat on while the pump is filling up your tank. I mean, you approach it differently the older you get, and that is a fact.
We're just not used to it. We used to like, okay, winter's coming, tough it out. But when you get a taste of like not using the snowblower
for years.
Yeah. And then you're out every other day. And I'm actually, when there's just not a lot of snow, I'm actually clearing by hand. And it takes a good hour and a half. A friend of mine came over the other day. He wanted to go out. So he's just like, oh, I'll help you. Oh, good. The shovel's at the top. I'll meet you at the bottom.
So the only cold you really want to deal with this time of year is a cold beer. So be careful. Is it snow or cold that you can't deal with, either or both?
I don't care about the cold.
Yeah.
Just getting the snow off the driveway and being sure that somebody can get up and get down. That's my biggest concern.
How long is this driveway, may I ask?
I don't know. It's long.
The long and winding road.
The guy that came over to help shovel, he walked up. And then when we got down to the bottom and got it shoveled, he goes, I'm not walking back up there again. He got his car and drove back up. It's that long.
All right, what do we have coming up on this broadcast?
Well, my friend Buddy Lee is our first guest right after the break. And he is a famous plant breeder that introduced something called an encore azalea, a plant that will bloom twice. Now, not all encore azaleas work for us, but a few do. And Buddy and I also, he was on my trip to Iceland. Had a fun interview. We got it in Baltimore at the Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show, and I think you're really going to enjoy that. And then it's all your calls after that. Let's talk gardening. It's going to get cold. Let's talk about what's coming up. Seeds, planting, extending the season. I'm crossing my fingers. I think my arugula at least is going to make it in that greenhouse when we go below zero.
Always cheer for the arugula. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And again, if you want to get in the queue now to get that gardening question answered and you don't mind holding on through an incredible interview that you're going to be able to hear while you're on hold, dial the number 866-391-1020. We'll be back.
Well, I'm excited to welcome my friend Buddy Lee to the show. He is a
creator of the Encore Azalea, among other things. And buddy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Doug. It's been a great show, even though it's a little cold, a little snow, but it's been great.
We are at the Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show, and buddy and I actually traveled to Iceland together.
That was a really neat trip, I tell you.
And actually met last year here at Mance. And tell me about the Encore Azalea. It's a pretty amazing thing.
Well, the Encore, it kind of had its beginnings in the 70s. I grew up on a dairy farm and a row crop farm and beef cattle, but there was some local nurseries that grew specialized in azaleas, and I just, when I was 14, I went to work for them and just kind of fell in love with them, you know. And then I had a nursery through high school and college, a small nursery, but the competition was really, really steep. But over the time, I contemplated, well, what could I do to change azaleas and stuff like that? And so, the fall bloom has always interested me, but there was really no market for that, you know.
So there were azaleas that bloomed later in the season.
Yes, especially in the lower south and some, in the mid-Atlantic areas. But they weren't consistent, you know. And when I had my wholesale nursery, specialized in general ornamentals, I would collect these plants in hopes of trying to sell them as fall bloomers. But the ones that had a tendency to bloom in the fall, they were just inconsistent time frame there, and so that didn't really work out. And I had a friend that had given money to a venture in a plant hunting expedition in Taiwan. And he gave some money, and in 2 or 3 years later, and this was late 60s, early 70s when that occurred, they sent him a rooted cutting of an azalea, and it turned out to be rhododendron olhamii, which is a summer blooming form. It just so happened. And he grew it for numerous years, and when I saw it blooming in July, the bells kind of went off in my head, if I would cross a summer bloomer with these other evergreen azaleas, what would I do? And since I'd already started collecting a lot of azaleas that had a tendency to bloom in the fall, it was really easy, just one step off, to start doing the control breeding, grow the seedlings, and that's how it all kind of started.
Is this all self-taught?
Yes. At that time, the learning curve was kind of every which way initially, but it came to pass, and I took genetics and stuff like that in college, but I was well on my way, anyway.
And at some point, you come up with an azalea that will bloom twice.
Twice.
Right? How many years does that take to get something that's stabilized to do that?
Well, in that one, it was in the 70s, and the first one, that were actually marketed was in 95. So there was a lot of years going through that. But, there was a lot of things going on there. I had a wholesale nursery. And a lot of times breeding work will take, second step to the rest when you got to make money. And at that time, new plants just wasn't the thing that people wanted. Most nurseries could sell what they grew. There was no desire. There was, with Encore Azaleas and Knockout Rose and Endless Summer, kind of, we were all three in that initial group, but just dreaming about it, really. I had big dreams from the day I made the first cross,
And those big dreams have been realized because the Encore Azalea is a big deal.
Well, they tell me that, and I'm pretty sure I realize that, but I'm always driven just to do more. I'm still doing a lot of, I'm breeding for fragrance, and there's just every which direction at my nursery. I'm located just north of New Orleans, more in the Piney Woods across Lake Pontchartrain. I probably have over 5,000 seedlings this year that will go into bloom that I'm looking for certain traits.
So let's talk about in our area, cold zone 6.
Yes.
I know we're right on the edge for your plants. talk about a couple cultivars that are really good in the cold zone 6 and some ideas on where we should plant them to give them a little protection.
Well, there's several varieties that I think will do well in zone 6. One is called Autumn Fire. Another one is Autumn Amethyst and Autumn Lily. And a lot of my breeding work stems around cold hardy genetics. I've used a lot of the species that are cold hardy, but like Autumn Fire, it should do extremely well. And we've tested it in cold 6, and they have done well. Lily, the same. Extreme cold without snow cover, they will defoliate, but they will come back. Now there are varieties that cannot make it in zone 6.
Right, right.
There's many of them.
Right. Not, so just because it says Encore Azalea, find the right one.
And we try our best. And if you look at the description, we've put a lot of time into it, trying to, you know, to right that ship about where these plants fall. But most of them have a lot of cold hardy genetics in them. It's not just because I was from Louisiana. I just didn't use Southern Indicas. Or, you know, and really, evergreen azaleas, they're not native to North America. You know, they're like imports. So there's a guy from Pennsylvania, Joe Gable, that did a lot of breeding work for cold hardy plants. I actually used a lot of his plants. He's been gone for numerous years, you know, but that's my goal, cold hardiness and heat tolerance. And that's a balance sometimes. You can get an azalea that's so cold hardy, it doesn't do well in this day. So it's kind of a genetic catch there.
And we could put it in a container.
Yes.
And then give it a little protection when the winter comes.
That's true. And winds, desiccating winds can just be horrible on azaleas. They could just, even the most cold hardy azaleas can just be wiped out. You know, snow cover can be a great thing for some azaleas, or just where you can block the winds, you know. But you don't want an area that's too shaded. They need sun to get a real nice bushy plant and to set bloom buds.
Tell me what you get out of doing this work.
Well, a lot of enjoyment, but you know, just the pure pleasure of developing plants is my, you know, I've always, that's always been, you know, something I enjoy doing.
All right, well, our next trip's going to be Isle of Man, okay, since we both have a connection to the Isle of Man.
Yes, that's amazing. When we met, Isle of Man is a very mystical, magical place. And then for us, my great-great-grandfather came from the Isle of Man. It took me a while to track it down, but I even have traced some kin people in the Isle of Man. And so I want to go back, and you're going to have to go with me.
I'm going with you, buddy. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you.
So when I think of Buddy, I think of Buddy Rich, Buddy Hackett, and as you said so appropriately, I thought it was Buddy Lee, but Buddy Love, Jerry Lewis.
Not Buddy Love.
Oh, my.
Buddy Love was like supposed to be, it's like the Dean Martin, you know, that was the movie after they broke up.
Right.
And I don't think Dean Martin's people loved the character Buddy Love.
So let me ask you real quick. We got a moment here. TikTok shuts down, okay? There are a lot of influencers out there. You do a lot on social media. I do a lot on social media. So speaking of Dean Martin, they all have social media platforms now. Judy Garland, Dean Martin, Sinatra. So that name, image, and likeness, are they kind of getting paid as performers somewhere?
Somebody is. You know, Carson, you can see Carson. They push that out all the time. So somebody's getting something out of it. Family, or I'm sure they had that all set up. Of course, for the 70s stars, I guess not. I don't know.
But it's kind of unique when you think about it. Name, image, and likeness. You know, you hear that all the time in sports. But if these people are performing every day and they're getting a million views, somebody's making a little cash on Dino and Mr. Sinatra. That's a good thing. All right, short break. We'll come back. It's time for you to get on the phones. Let's heat up the phones and let's talk gardening. Let's think spring. Let's think warmer weather. Anything on your mind, now's the time while the lines are available at 866-391-1020. Doug would like to talk to you about gardening now, and that number to dial, and they are all available, the four lines that we have for you listeners out there at 866-391-1020. But if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you win a gift certificate for that amazing place that is Janoski's, now serving delicious hot coffee on the weekends and get out there and get indoors and dare to dream about the spring. So we're going to talk about what's happening moving forward in the world of gardening, and we'd love to hear from you what your plans are. Again, number to dial 866-391-1020, and the 10th caller wins that gift certificate from Janoski's at 412-922-1020. Doug.
Well, this is my annual rant on where to get your plants. Because this is when they start seeing them on TV. And one of my pet peeves is I can't stand for people to get taken advantage of it. Now, that doesn't mean that every deal on TV is a bad deal for plants. But first off, companies try and send me plants all the time. And for me to try them and see if they're good. And even under those circumstances where this is their job to get those plants to me, a percentage of them don't make it. I really don't understand buying plants mail order. It's iffy. And the prices of some of these plants, again, my wife has to sit there while I'm ranting, and it's just ridiculous. If you can go to a nursery when it's time to do this and see the plant and pick the one that's the best, if you're going to order them online, be sure you know what you're getting. Be sure you're knowing they finally show the size of the plant that you're getting. And just think about what it costs and how much cheaper you could get it if you went to the nursery and what a better plant was going to be. I know how easy it is. I do the same thing for different products. I try to support my local hardware store, nurseries, whatever it is. I want to go there first. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're looking for something weird. I bought a special cord for Rob for his phone and his microphones. I couldn't find it locally. But as far as plants, I want to see the plant. I want to pick the best one. And that's not what you're going to get. Yes, they're all guaranteed. But again, you'll get plants shipped to you. Three of the four will be okay. And you won't bother to say anything about that fourth one, and then you're out a little bit of money. Like I said, shop carefully. There might be something on TV that's like, wow, never seen that before. But every time I turn it on, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. How can people pay that kind of money for a plant? Now, I sent out all the seeds that had a request from my Pittsburgh Preservation Project. That's where I've got three different Pittsburgh heirloom tomato seeds that I'm giving away. I send the seeds to you. You grow them out. You send the seeds back to me. And that's how we keep it going. Three different tomatoes. I've got the Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top. That's the one that's been going for the longest since 2000. I've been giving that away. Secondly is 3945, found on the battlefield of World War II. That's where the name comes from, 1939 to 1945. And then the brand new one, Dr. Jim Snow, which a friend of mine, Kim Gibson Snow, gave me. That's a big, giant, wonderful-tasting tomato. If you want those, just go online, go to DougOster.com. The information is there. You're just sending me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I send you the seeds back. And we keep those tomatoes going. It's fun. You know, last week, my friend Bob DeMay was on talking about the 3945, how much he likes it. People stop me all the time, whether it's the potato top or the 3945, and just say, hey, man, that was a cool tomato. And it's fun to keep this legacy going. I'm going to keep adding tomatoes to the Pittsburgh Preservation Project. If anybody out there has an old-fashioned tomato they've been growing forever or was passed down from somebody, send me an email. Go through the DougOster.com and click on the contact us link, and an email will come right to me. Is there a phone call, Rob?
He's almost ready to say it's a green light, but just okay. A couple more sentences. Go ahead.
So, deer desperation. The deer are desperate right now. Yesterday, I went out and sprayed. They are up on close to the house eating yew plants that were trimmed, that were pruned, actually, by Davey, a big tree close to the house. They're desperate. And so anything out there that you have, azaleas, rhododendrons, anything that has any mountain laurel, which is technically poisonous to them, but they'll still eat the buds, the young ones. And they're herded up now. They're all together. And my herd is like 12. every time they walk through the woods, my dog goes crazy. So get out there and spray. I use something called Bob-X, but there's lots of great deer repellents out there.
All right, here we go. Got a couple of calls in the queue. Let's go to Joan in Evan City on the Organic Gardener with Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Good morning, Joan. Welcome to KDKA.
Good morning, Doug. Hey, I'm looking for a Scotch broom.
Mm-hmm.
I want it in orange. And I've tried several nurseries. I've even gone up to, there's a place outside of Zillion Farm Bell that has stuff. And they were going to order me one. And the guy said it would be in a couple of days. So I waited a couple of days and I didn't hear back from him. So then I gave it another day and I called and he said, he said they all died. So is there any place local that you know of that I might be able to get a Scotch broom that's orange?
I would probably try Lake Forest again and see what happens here this spring if they can get them. Other than that, you're going to have to probably go the mail order way. You know, check with Lake Forest. Check with Sorgles is up north. Check with Quality Gardens.
Yep, I've done both. Quality Gardens had yellow. Sorgles didn't have any. I guess I'll try again. And Lake Forest is where I went.
Yeah, that's a pretty good place. They've got lots of stuff. Now, there is a, again, I always want to go local, but there is a good company called Forest Farm. And get on their website, and they have all sorts of crazy stuff. The thing is, you know, you're going to have to buy a little one if it's online because shipping's going to kill you. And so,
So
you buy a smaller one that way. When you're looking for something that's so unique, sometimes you do have to step out of the box. Usually, though, these places should be able to order you one and get, if they have them growing up, all the big nurseries are up on Lake Erie. That's a milder climate, and that's where the local nurseries often go to get their shrubs and trees. And, my money would be on Lake Forest to start there and see if they'll can get something going again this spring. Look through Forest Farms catalog online and see if you can find one there. And feel free to send me a message through the website, DougOster.com, and I can dig around a little bit, too, and see what I can find for you.
Perfect. Thank you so very much.
Wait, talk a little bit about this plant. Why is this plant so interesting to you? Because that's an unusual plant, a very cool-looking plant, too.
I have a relative that lives right outside of North Park, and up in their plan, two people, almost a couple doors away from each other, each have one. And the first time I saw it, I was so just enthralled with how gorgeous that orange was, because you get like almost like a pink and a yellow, but it's basically orange. That you get those hints, those tones of those colors. And I just thought it was spectacular. And I thought, I took pictures. I took lots and lots of pictures. And I went around to the different nurseries, went, what is this? What is this? What is this? And some people didn't even know. And then one lady went, oh, that's the lady at Quality Gardens. She went, that's a Scotch broom. I went, oh, well, I want one. And that's when she said, I only have yellow. But yeah, I just think they're an absolutely gorgeous plant.
Well, I'm happy to work with you to try and figure this out. So you do some work on your side. I'll do some work on my side. Send me a message, and we'll start working on this, and we'll find something for you one way or another.
Sounds great. Thank you so very much for your help.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back on the other side, and we're going to be talking to Kathy in Munhall. But if you have a question for Doug, now is the time to call, 866-391-1020, Winter Comfort Food. And Frank is on his way to the station. And one of the things that I saw earlier today that brought back some memories of, hey, baked spaghetti. Yeah, baked spaghetti. So we'll talk to Frank about that as one of my new favorite as far as winter comfort foods are concerned. That's moments away on KDKA. All right, back with Doug. If you want to jump in here, give us a call, 866-391-1020. Nan Cohen today at 9, Accurate Solutions, of course, in that 10 o'clock hour. Then it's off to Pirate Fest for a two-hour broadcast on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. Kathy Munhall. Good morning, Kat.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
That's good. Hey, so I brought in three plants in the fall, and didn't realize I probably should be treating them, you know, before I brought them in the house. And now I have fungus gnats. They're two jasmines and a bougainvillea. So I've been reading a lot about them, but haven't started treating. So what would you suggest?
Well, first off, good for you bringing those plants in. That's cool. That's going to be fun. And fungus gnats are just a pain. That's all. They're not going to do anything bad to the plant. And so the first thing to do is keep those three plants on the dry side. That will stop the cycle of what's going on with the fungus gnat. Second thing you could do, they have these things called yellow sticky traps.
And, I already have those.
Okay. So. And then the third thing, if this persists, especially after you let things really dry out, if it persists, there's these little things that are called mosquito bits, B-I-T-S. And it's an organic, it's an organic control. We use the bigger version, these kind of mosquito dunks. We use those to just float them in standing water, and they kill the mosquito larva. This is the same sort of thing. It's the same organic control that deals with the larva of the fungus gnat, which is in the soil. Usually when you really let those plants dry out, it stops the cycle and the fungus gnats are gone. With the addition of the yellow sticky traps that catch any adults, and then the last resort will be the mosquito bits. There's no reason to get rid of them, you know, especially if you can live with the gnats. What made you bring them in?
Well, I had gotten the jasmine as a small, very small plant and had brought it in last year, and then it really took off brought it in the previous winter. And then last year in the summer had it outside and it took off, and I actually got flowers on it. And I just was so excited by that, you know, that I thought, well,
yeah.
And then I had it in a really big pot with the bougainvillea, and it got too much. So I dumped it and split it, and I landed up getting two jasmine out of that. So one smaller that hasn't really flowered any yet. But how about these, like, so I'm getting these long kind of curling branches, and I know it's supposed to be a climbing plant, which I, you know, it's never going to be able to be outside. Should I just snip those off or let them go?
Can either snip them off or just kind of change the way you're growing and kind of grow them up, put a couple little things for them to catch on to and see how they do. But yeah, you could snip them off if you wanted to. So good luck with those. Right. Good luck with the fungus gnats. How wet is that soil? If you stick your finger in those pots, if it's moist, that's the problem.
I try not to water too frequently, you know.
Yeah.
But
both of those plants can handle some dry. That would be the first thing I would do. Dry them out.
Okay. I had seen something that suggested dilute peroxide, and I'm thinking that just doesn't sound good for plants. But
no, I wouldn't. You know, those homemade recipes like that, I don't like that. I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
As I said, you know, I've had fungus gnats before too. I've got a bunch of house plants, and just because they got too much water on them, you'll break the cycle by letting them dry out, and they can, especially the bougainvillea, can handle really dry conditions, and then you'll be good for the winter, and you'll have that plant. I forgot to ask, do you take the bougainvillea back out, or it stays in all the time?
Yeah, no, that goes back out,
too. Oh, good, good,
good. You know, for the size of it, I might start to need some help taking them out pretty soon, but,
You know what usually happens when you have a plant that you got to take in and out and it gets too big?
Uh-huh, what?
We usually forget, with air quotes, forget that it's getting cold and just let it die outside.
yeah, eventually, but oh well.
All right, hey, thanks for your call, and good luck with that.
Take care. Bye.
All right, we're just about out of time, so what else is on your mind?
Well, I got a couple things at the website for you to look at. A very cool tomato seed sale from a place called Tomato Fest, one of my favorite places to get unique tomato seeds. Another really weird and wonderful seed catalog, J.L. Hudson. And real quick, winter sewing is a kind of a fun thing that we could do right now. Oh, do you have time for that one, Rob, or not?
Got a minute?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Let's say hi to Lynn. Lynn, you're on KDK. Got about a minute. Go ahead, please.
Okay, a quick one. Hi. We have these beautiful autumn clematis that were always on our fence on the side yard. We had to put new rails on the fence this past summer, and I tried to gently move the autumn clematis. They don't look the same. They look like they died. Do you think there's any possibility that they could be? They look really not good. Like, they don't look like they ever did before. So
let's just wait till the spring and see what happens. I really think you'll be fine. If that sweet autumn clematis has been there for a couple years at least, all those roots are going to sprout up for you and you're going to be okay. Yeah, probably your top doesn't look as good as it should after having to move it around and such, but I really wouldn't sweat it. I'm very confident that you're going to be fine. When we get to the spring, you'll get all this new growth and you won't even know that thing was moved.
So just cut everything back, everything that's dead, and let the new
shoots. No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Unless you know for sure it's dead. I would wait till the spring and see what sprouts and what doesn't. That way you won't be removing something that's alive. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
Coming up, winter comfort food, and we're going to talk baked spaghetti moments away on the Coons Cooking after Rob checks the news at 8.